Passover for 2024 began last night, April 22nd, at sunset, and it will continue through nightfall on Tuesday, April 30th. The Passover was a historical event, and it also became an annual feast to commemorate the event. You may think, what's the big deal about an Old Testament feast? But it's very important because it provides an image of salvation that is fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul calls Christ our Passover. So join me to learn more about Passover and hopefully see relevant details that heighten our understanding of Jesus' sacrifice. That'll be today on All Things Apostolic. One lens for viewing the Bible is as a progressive revelation or unfolding of God's plan of redemption. If we look at the scripture as one long story that has some key moments that relate to redemption, then Exodus chapter 12 is one of those very important highlights. By looking at the original Passover, we can see an important correlation to the work of Christ. Remember back to Genesis 15 when God told Abraham what was going to happen to his descendants. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Well, God keeps his word, and Exodus chapter 12 provides the account of how God fulfilled what he had promised to Abraham. After the tribes of Israel spent centuries in slavery in Egypt, God raised up a man, Moses, and developed him for a special task. Then God judged Egypt through a series of plagues, which could also be viewed as miracles. They involved blood, frogs, gnats, flies, disease, boils, hail, locusts, and darkness. But they did not secure Israel's salvation. The culmination was the 10th and final plague, the death of the firstborn. The Israelites were instructed for each household to take a male lamb 1 year old and examine it carefully to be sure that it was without blemish. They were to keep it until the appointed day, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel would kill it. God instructed them to eat the meat by roasting it in fire, not raw, because there were some pagan spring feasts sometimes that included raw meat, so there needed to be a distinction, and not boiled, because that took more preparation time. They needed to make the meat quickly by roasting it, and then eating it in haste to be ready to go on short notice. Now, this was not just any meal. It was sacred, so any leftover meat had to be burned with fire. God further instructed, And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. God instructed the people to take the blood of the lamb without blemish and put it on the two doorposts and on the overhead beam of the doorway of each household so that the blood would provide a covering. Then the Lord passed through the land that night. He passed over every household that had the covering of the blood of the lamb. But in those households that did not have the covering, he smote the firstborn. The people who were obedient were saved from the plague, and their firstborn children lived. Those households without a blood covering, including Pharaoh's, experienced the death of the firstborn. There was loud wailing throughout Egypt that night. Finally, Pharaoh agreed to let the Israelites go, and the Egyptians were so eager to get rid of them that they gladly gave them silver, gold, and clothing. Just as God had said, the Israelites came out from bondage with great substance. After this historical event occurred, it was so significant that God established the month that it occurred in as the first month of Israel's religious calendar. He wanted them to realize that it was a new beginning, so it became the first month of the sacred year. Then God established Pesach, that's the Hebrew name for Passover, as an annual feast to commemorate God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. The Lord told the Israelites to observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. To this day, Jews all over the world still celebrate Passover or Pesach. Once the Israelites were settled in the Promised Land, and once a temple was built in Jerusalem, the original sacrifice described in Exodus 12 changed, and Passover became one of the Jewish pilgrimage festivals. Israelites were expected to travel to Jerusalem to sacrifice a Passover lamb at the temple during the afternoon of the 14th day of the month, and then consume the Passover sacrifice once the sun had set, and the festival had formally begun on the 15th. This kind of celebration is described as having taken place during the reigns of King Hezekiah and King Josiah. It's depicted in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and 35, and other places as well. As time passed, the practices around the Passover continued to evolve. Today, the special Passover meal is called a Seder, which means order. The order of the meal includes special types of food with historical relevance and symbolic significance to the story of the Exodus. It also includes prayers, songs, and a retelling of the Exodus story. Some of the symbolic food includes unleavened bread, because the Jewish people were in a hurry to escape Egypt. The other elements of the Seder plate are traditional reminders of the Israelite enslavement to the Egyptians. A vegetable, usually parsley, is dipped in salt water and eaten. This is a symbolic reference to the hyssop that was used to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to homes. In the New Testament, hyssop was used to give vinegar to Jesus when he said he thirsted in John 19:29. The salt water represents the tears shed during the bitter years of slavery, and also the Red Sea that God split during the Exodus. The Seder also includes a mixture made from apples, nuts, wine, and spices. It represents the mortar the Israelites used in constructing buildings during their slavery to the Egyptians. And it tastes sweet. It's the only sweet-tasting part of the meal, which is a reminder of the hope of redemption. There are also four cups of wine used at various points during the Seder. Each of these glasses of wine has a name. The first glass is the cup of sanctification. The second is the cup of judgment. The third is the cup of redemption. And the fourth is the cup of praise. Even though the Passover was commanded to the Israelites, and it's not a requirement for Christians, the Passover has significance for Christians. Paul called Jesus our Passover. So Jesus didn't just celebrate Passover, he became our Passover. Events in the Old Testament often foreshadow a future fulfillment in the New Testament. And the Passover has a lot of powerful symbolism. So let's talk for a few minutes about some of these connections. The Passover lamb had to be a male, and of course, Jesus was a male. The lamb had to be without spot or blemish, and Jesus was sinless. The Apostle John saw a messianic connection in the fact that the Israelites were instructed to kill and eat the Passover lamb without breaking any of its bones. Similarly, Jesus was crucified without any of his bones being broken, unlike the two robbers beside him. So the sacrifice required a male lamb without spot or blemish and with no broken bones. And Jesus fit these parameters perfectly. The Passover pointed forward to Jesus Christ, who John the Baptist called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus' death paid the price for sin, but it isn't Jesus' spotless, sinless life that saves us. It's his substitutionary death that gives us salvation. Back with Adam and Eve, they covered themselves with fig leaves, but God covered them with animal skins. Although the Bible doesn't say it directly, the implication is that one or more animals had to be sacrificed for that covering. Similarly, the Passover also points to the principle of salvation by substitutionary sacrifice. The 10th plague was God's judgment, and the lamb sacrificed provided the blood covering for protection and redemption. The blood redeemed the life of the firstborn. To experience salvation, the people had to obey in faith the instructions God gave to them through the man of God. In faith and obedience, the people followed the instructions and covered the doorposts with blood. The blood on the doorframe signaled to the Lord to protect the people inside. God's salvation was available for anyone who faithfully obeyed, but those who didn't heed the warning missed out on God's provision of salvation. In Exodus 6:6, God promised that he would save his people from slavery. He said, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." The phrase "with an outstretched arm" is repeated multiple times in other places in the Old Testament in connection with Passover remembrances. And the image of outstretched arms can also bring to mind Jesus on the cross with his outstretched arms offering himself as our substitutionary sacrifice to redeem us from bondage to sin. So Passover offers us a glimpse into God's judgment and his mercy. Because God is holy and just, Egypt faced his judgment. But God offered a way of escape and salvation for those who, in faith and obedience, applied the substitutionary blood of a spotless lamb. On the night of the Passover, the Israelites, who had been in slavery and bondage, were literally and figuratively under the blood. And then they were free. Now, we know that ultimately an animal cannot atone for sin. And that's why Jesus offered himself as the perfect lamb who takes away the sin of the world. In Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, Peter tells us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." All of us have sinned and fallen short, but in God's mercy, he has made provision for us himself. Our salvation comes through Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. Two final points about the importance of Passover. Just as God changed the calendar and the Passover became a new starting point or beginning for the religious year of the Israelites, when we experience salvation, we're given a new beginning as well. Our new birth experience in water and spirit opens up a whole new life to us, and the old is passed away. And we need to remember that the Passover serves not just to thank God and bring glory to Him for His miraculous protection and provision, but it's also an opportunity to provide instruction to the next generation. The Exodus story is meant to be retold regularly. Each of us has a story of redemption and salvation. Let's be sure to share our story with the next generation so it won't be forgotten.